This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com.
My friend, back in the lineup, number 77, joins us on the Adam Gold Show. How you been, man?
Good to talk to you. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing doing very well. 3-1 in the series. I think you guys probably feel pretty good about being 3-1 up, even though maybe you would have loved to have closed it out and not had to play a game anymore.
Yeah, of course. Anytime you can be up 3-1 in the series, no matter how you're playing, you'll take it. But, you know, we think you're probably going to hear this a million times. We just talk about it a ton in the locker room, as well as we think we have another level to get to. So being up 3-1 and feeling that way is a good thing for us.
Oh, there's no question, right? Now, you don't take faceoffs. I am curious, though. How much conversation is there about it? Because sometimes it's not the centerman that loses the draw. And Jack Jury on the power play goal that the Islanders scored early in the third period, that was actually a faceoff win, right?
It just bounces and ricochets, that kind of stuff.
Do you guys talk about faceoffs? Maybe Rod doesn't talk about it with the whole group. Maybe he just talks about it with the centers. But what do you have a theory on why the numbers might have been so lopsided?
Yeah, I think the Islanders, listen, it was a desperate game for them. They were doing everything in their power to start with the puck and bear down every little thing. And they, you know, they did a good job as far as the circle went. And, you know, we have some of the best centermen in the league. And yeah, I think his percentage wise backs it up as well. So it was a fluky game as far as I say percentages go. We, you know, they did a good job. You got to give them credit. They won the loose pucks, like you said. Not every loss is a clean win or lose. They got there to the pucks, you know, first on it, and they chip it back to their D-man or whatever they do that counts as a win. And it made a big difference in the game, obviously. But I heard you saying as I was coming on, it's still a 2-2 game, and you know, I think we're going to come back, and we trust our centers. Every face-off we go in, we're expecting to win. One tough game is what it is. They'll bounce back, and they'll be winning draws, and as defensemen and wingers, we'll do what we can to help them out, too, to dig in.
Did Pierre Engvall get away with interference right off the faceoff?
I'm not going to go there. It is what it is. That game's in the past. Right. But we got to just focus on what we can do better.
Tony D'Angelo. I couldn't bait you. Good for you. Tony D'Angelo here on the Adam Gold Show. Just stepping away from these couple of games real quick. I mean, I know you've had, this was a difficult year for you. How did you keep dialed in? Because every time you did draw in at the end of, you know, toward the end of the season, I thought you played well. How did you keep dialed in and focused on, you know, knowing that you'd be ready when you got your chance?
Yeah, I think that's probably the main thing that kept me ready. I am pretty confident in my game, and I don't think of myself as a 70 anywhere, a guy that shouldn't be playing. Turns out that's the way it went this year, and that is what it is. But you know, things didn't shake out the way we panned out, you know, the way we thought and the way I thought. But that's, you know, I like these guys so much here. We're so close. I love the locker room. I love the fans and the people. I'm not gonna take my frustrations that I had during the season for not playing out on the ice. I got to come out there and try to be the best I can. And the most important thing is trying to win. And I had that in the back of my head all year, obviously. You know, things came up where who knows what was going to happen, deadline, this, that, but it didn't. And my mindset is, at some point, hopefully, I'm going to be able to help this team win the whole thing, and that's our goal, and be part of it. And that's just the way I try to keep it. And like I said, it all comes back to the love I have for the guys in the locker room. It's not their fault. It's not anybody's fault. I want to be part of it. I'm part of it with them. I'm not going to sulk and cry about it and be selfish, because at the end of the day, what matters is Carolina Hurricanes winning, you know, hopefully the whole thing, and not Tony D'Angelo's individual stats or this or that. So that's kind of the way I try to go about it.
And it comes at the expense of, I know, you're a very good friend. How's Brett doing?
Yeah, I mean, that's the bad part about this business and the way things unfold sometimes, because it's one of my best buddies there, and a guy that is irreplaceable to this franchise, to this team, and we need him in the lineup, and we're hoping he's going to be back as soon as possible. But like I've been saying, just try to fill the void that's left when he goes out for, you know, for however long it may be, and do whatever I can to help the team win, just like he would be doing. So that's kind of the way we go about it. And I think everybody's on the same page. We got a real close group of guys, but when it's one of your best buddies, it's even tougher when you have to come in for him.
But you come into a situation where you're familiar with playing with Brady Shea. You played with him here. You played with him in New York as well. Has to make it easier for you.
Yeah, of course. No, Brady and I, and how close we are off the ice, I think plays a big role in the seamless transition. Kind of, they go back and different style of play I am than probably than Pesce is for him. Different type of defending. Different looking to jump, whatever. But we've been together so long. So I played in the league 8 years, and I think I've been on the same team as Brady for seven of them, or six of them, whatever, 2 years apart. But it's easy, and he's such a great player, such a great defender and skater, that it's nice to just be able to read off him in his defensive zone. He's skating and just find my guy, and I think so far we've done a good job. But like me and him talked about too, we think we have another level to get to, and I think we can create more offense together, and jump into play a little more. So there's more for all of us.
Tony D'Angelo is joining us here. Game 5 tomorrow night, 7:30 against the Islanders at PNC Arena. You and Brett don't play exactly the same game, but I think Brady can play either, right? Brady is good at playing more of a defensive game, and he can certainly jump up. Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Financial advice industry can be overwhelming for a lot of people. Is there a way to be sure you're getting the best service when you don't know?
Yeah, Adam, it's not just if you gave the money to a planning team and they did good the first year. I mean, anyone can do good for 1 year, but it's a track record and it's a long-term accounts that are very important. We call that a financial fill-up strategy, Adam, and that gives you lifetime income you can never outlive. We'll put together for you, the listener, your very own total retirement plan if you call right now.
Call and claim your comprehensive review with Coach Pete and the team, 888-843-0013, or text Adam to 600-700.
Adam Gold is a paid spokesman. Investment advisory services offered by Capital Financial Advisory Group, a North Carolina registered investment advisor.
Oh, you better believe it. The guy has back-to-back double-digit goal seasons, almost 50 points this year. Plays in the power play, plays in the penalty kill, skates like to win. Doesn't get much better than being able to jump in and play with a Brady Shea. Friendship or not, I'd be saying the same thing. It's just, he's a top-four defenseman on any team in the NHL. So it's a pleasure to be able to jump in there and play with him.
Let me ask you about when the team brings in Jake Ensel and Yevgeny Kuznetsov, and specific to Kuznetsov, he had not played a lot of hockey recently, and he's had a rough go of it the last couple of years. But he seems to really enjoy, A, his role, and B, where he is. What has he brought to the group?
Yeah, I mean, on top of the talent that you could just watch with your own two eyes, you see the skill and talent and seeing it, like flawless skating he has. He just glides through the ice without even trying to move. He just gets by guys, but... he brings a great energy to the locker room too, upbeat personality, funny guy, kind of bring, if you look at our t-shirts, the Plumber's Plum t-shirts that we have in the playoffs, it's coming from him, and just kind of a nice fresh start for him. I think, I don't want to speak on his behalf, but he just seems happy to kind of get in a fresh place. He's got his buddy Orly here and be our team that has a chance to, go into the playoffs and have a chance to win. He seems happy, and he's been great for us so far. And like you said, he hasn't played a lot of hockey. He's still getting himself back in. When you take off 2 full months of not skating at all, it's not the easiest thing in the world to be where we're at now. So he's a big game player. He scored a big goal in game 1 for us, and hopefully expecting many more of those as we go on.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the bench interview he did after game 1, I don't know if you guys saw it he basically said, I'm not a big fan of celebrating a win like this. He goes, we need to be so much better, right? It's not that celebrating a win is cool, but he just felt like there was so much more to give in game 1. Sebastian said that after the game. He said he thinks that there is more for the team to give. What areas do you think, because you alluded to it, what area do you think that the team could be better at?
Yeah, I think we need to do a better job, in my opinion at least, of possessing the puck down low, below the goal line. We've done a good job of getting into the zone. It's just a matter of let's possess it more down there. Let's create them low to high chances, and or maybe even quick chances behind the net, whatever it may be. But possessing the puck more in the ozone, making them work harder by the time they get it, where they don't want to try to go up the ice, where they just want to change. I think that's a big thing for us. And if we do that, then the next line comes out with the puck, and the next line comes out with the puck, and that's kind of the way we're built, and the way when you see us at our best, that's the way we're playing. So I think that's, at least from my vantage point, that's one of the things I would say we need to get to, holding on to things down low. They got big, strong defensemen. They do a good job of closing guys out. That's the Islanders' way for years now, since they had Trotz as coach. That's, they're good at that. So making them work. Make them work and don't make it quick. Make it 20, 30, 40 seconds where they get it. If they do get it, even if we don't get anything, like I said, they're just slipping it out. Next line's coming out, and we do the same thing. We'll with the puck. Do it again and again and again, and then, you know, try to get those breakdowns and a couple scoring chances and hopefully capitalize on one of them.
And that's really what happened for a good chunk of game two. I mean, that...
Oh, yes, game two, excuse me, at home.
The last 30 minutes of that game were just ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of game you want to play because... You know, listen, they did a good job of defending until the last, you know, 2 minutes it took us till we scored that third goal to tie the game.
Yeah.
But when you just keep going and going and going and going, eventually one of them is going to go in. And it did. Even if it doesn't happen in game two, if you keep going, game three. That's why it's a seven-game series. You know, you just keep doing that over and over again, good things are going to come.
All right, two quick things. One, were you happy with the Eagles draft?
I don't want to be an NFL scout, but I was pretty happy with it. It seemed like they did a good job. And I know what you're going to ask, number two. I'm loving my Philly start.
Wait, let me get to that. Let's deal with the Eagles first. they drafted a lot of ACC players. We don't play great football in this league, Tony.
I want to know about the center from NC State we drafted. That's one guy I don't know.
Very good. Look, yeah. Yes, absolutely. I think McMahon is a good player. I think you'll like him a lot. I think
State shoes to fill.
Yeah. Yes.
For Kelsey.
those are not shoes. Those are like craters to fill in so many different ways. Look, if they drafted him with the idea that he's going to step in and be a starter, I think Dylan McMahon is a heck of a player. But honestly, the linebacker you got from Clemson, Jeremiah Trotter.
Yeah, he's one of my favorites, big boys. Yeah. Old man Trotter was one of the best.
Absolutely. Back, Will Shipley's a local kid.
I like Shipley, too. I mean, it seemed like they got a lot of big names. You know, I was reading somebody that was chirping the Eagles for taking all the big names in the draft. You know, the big college names, Shipley and Trotter and DeJean, or DeJean, how do you say his name, the corner out of Iowa.
Yeah.
But, hey, they were big names for a reason, so hopefully it translates to the NFL.
All right, what excites you about fourth best record in Major League Baseball belong to the Philadelphia Phillies? They're second in the division because the Braves are so good, but what excites you about the Phillies' start?
Yeah, I mean, besides the starting pitching has been incredible.
Yep.
But even without that holding up, it's the bats are coming. The bats haven't even been great, and they're still 19-10. So even if the pitching takes a little bit of a step back and the hitting continues to go the way they're going now, this is a – it's a good team. But the good thing is the last couple of years, even though they went to the World Series and the NLCS, it was a grind to get there. They had such bad starts. They were grinding all the way through to get there. You got to win this series, that series. So it's nice finally to be nine games over and just, you know, no pressure. Just playing good ball, and they should cruise their way into the playoffs this year, which is nice.
All right, we'll let you go here. I don't know how you find time to do all this stuff. I can't. I can't keep up with everything like I used to. Tony, I appreciate your time, man. I'll see you at the rink.
Anytime. Appreciate it. I'll see you soon.
You got it. Tony D'Angelo here on the Adam Gold Show. He knew it was coming.
I love it. Well, I may have mentioned something about baseball.
I mean, that's right. Your Cubs are off to a decent start.
They are. I mean, they kind of stunk the past couple games against the Red Sox, but that's okay. That's fine.
The Red Sox. Sox are not good.
Yeah.
Actually, I think everybody in that division is pretty close to 500 or over.
Yeah. Well, they gave them a tough time the past couple games, so.
I am pleasantly surprised. I literally have not watched an inning of baseball yet this year.
No?
Not an inning of Major League Baseball yet this year. I've been otherwise occupied.
It's a little busy. Well, the fact that Tony has time to even keep
that's
up with
that's what blows me away. Blows me
like
away.
Like you're in the
like,
playoffs
dude, you're
right
busy.
Now.
Like you, I mean. Look,
yeah.
Honestly, he probably has more free time than I do.
Probably.
Right?
There's a lot of traveling, so maybe he's watching these things like as he's going from
I'm sure
game
they have Wi-Fi
game.
On the plane. He's downloading, like, you know, game highlights and all
right.
that stuff.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I can't keep up with all of
it's
it.
Crazy.
I cannot do it.
Are you ready for the big game? At The Designery, we can help you arrange your kitchen in the perfect way to feed everyone coming over for the big game. I'm Dana Merrill, the owner of The Designery in North Raleigh.
And I am True Merrill. I am the project manager.
The Designery is a lovely kitchen, bath, and closet remodeling company. We do pretty much any of the utility spaces in your house. If you want to store things in your cabinets, if you want to work on things on your countertops, if you want to have a floor that can get wet or muddy, we're the place to help you fix your home up.
We are the Designery North Raleigh, located at 3030 Wake Forest Road in the Holly Park Plaza. We would love to see you, or visit our website at thedesignery.com.